Half of all American households own Apple Gear, AT&T Plus, Reflection Update for new iPad, and an iPhoto Tip of the Day. It's Thursday, March 29th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Leading off today's show is a study by CNBC. The CNBC's All American Economy Survey claims that half of all American households actually own an Apple product, at least one. According to the site, that's more than 55 million homes with at least one iPhone, iPad, iPod, or Mac computer. And 1 in 10 homes that aren't currently in that group plan to join it within the next year. The survey shows American buyers, or Apple buyers, tend to be male, college-educated, and younger. They're just as likely to own a home or not. Not surprisingly, the more money you earn, the more Apple products you'll likely own. Just 28% of those making less than $30,000 a year own at least one, compared to the 77% of those making more than $75,000. Those on the higher end of the income scale own an average of about 3 Apple devices, compared with the 0.6 for lower-income households. The poll of 836 Americans was conducted by landline and cell phones from March 19th to March 22nd and is a margin of error of plus or minus 3.4%. So those are the headlines, and some of them at least, from CNBC. And the numbers I will take for face value, even though these studies aren't exactly 100% foolproof. The people interviewed, I'd imagine, were picked for their variety and representative nature of the entire country. The numbers are not shocking either. 55 million American homes with Apple devices. With all those iOS devices and iPods out there, it's not a hard figure to imagine. And imagine if Apple's trend continues that we'll see, higher percentages in the future. 60, 70, 80, even 100% in a few decades if Apple doesn't stop its amazing growth trend it's on. So there you go. If you are an American with an Apple device, you are one of the 55 million households to do so. Next up are reports that Apple is now offering refunds to customers in Australia upset by the 4G branding of the new iPad. This issue stems from Apple's use of 4G in its marketing terms for cellular-capable models of this new iPad. While 4G LTE compatibility is actually only offered in the US and Canada due to differences in frequency bands used for LTE in different countries, the company says it will actually email a refund if they believe they have been misled. Clarifications will also be made at the point of sale, making sure that people actually know this is not truly 4G. So basically the problem is that Apple sells these LTE iPads and that they're banded for America because LTE really hasn't rolled out internationally yet. It's really not there. So something to note here is that, with here in the States, we have iPhones that are branded 4G and they're not 4G. They're AT&T HSPA Plus, which is 3G, and in some cases slower than other networks, 3G networks. So, and Apple, does not offer us refunds because they changed it to say 4G. Also to note is Apple gives you refunds for up to 2 weeks, I believe, and in some cases with iPhones, a month, for refunds on any device. So I find it odd that Apple needs to make a big deal of offering a refund to something that's already available to customers. And finally, this, as I just said, the 4G moniker is used all over the place. It's a marketing thing in many instances, like it is here, rather than a truly 4G. Because 4G, in all actuality, is actually 100 megabits down, which even LTE, you probably won't see those speeds. 4G, it's a branding and more of a marketing thing than anything else. So in Australia, you'll have fast HSPA Plus, which we like to call 4G on AT&T's network, and dual band HSPA Plus, which is, I hear, insanely fast. So you have some sort of faster data networking than you had on your iPad 2. So stop complaining, or should I say, Australian regulators, who are the ones putting up the fuss, stop complaining. Now on to AT&T and a new service they are rolling out. According to Engadget, the free service is called AT&T Plus. It's only available right now in Houston, Colorado, and Minneapolis. It will let customers get tidbits such as personalized customer experience, which I have no idea what that means. Basically, they've got access to a customer service line, and they're able to get discounts, 25% discounts on accessories and no activation fees, as every customer should have that, no activation fees and no upgrade fees. AT&T has yet to say who will get this invite or how you get this invite, but it's just something new the company's doing and will affect a lot of iPhone users. Something in the note here is the accessory discount of 25% will not affect any Apple gear. So iPhone and iPad stuff, you don't get that discount on, sadly. Now let's move on to some app news. To begin as a follow-up from yesterday's Airfoil story. So Rogue Amoeba, they've released a new command line interface app for Linux users. The app is called Airfoil Speakers and allows any Linux box to be turned into an AirPlay-enabled speaker. The free app is out now and available now. The app runs in the terminal and may be a bit harder to use if you're not entirely geeky and up to date with command line interface applications. Head over to rogueamoeba.com/airfoil/speakers.php for a free download. And Airfoil, as I told you yesterday, lets you basically stream any kind of audio from your Mac to another AirPlay device, or in this case, a Linux box. Next up today is a minor update to the Logic apps, Logic Pro and Logic Express. Logic Pro 9.1.7 includes basically overall stability and addresses some little issues, resolves issues to download and installation of content, fixes compatibility with GarageBand for iOS projects, and a number of other error messages and editing fade bugs that have come up over the updates. In the Express version, same version number, 9.1.7, similar things, fixes GarageBand compatibility and a number of other bugs. The updates are out now and available either in the Mac App Store or through Software Update, depending on where you bought your app. In other app news is Adobe announcing that CS6's Photoshop beta has been downloaded over 500,000 times. The beta was released last week and has gotten overall a fairly positive response from its users. If you want to download it, head on over to Adobe Labs' website, or just Google Adobe Photoshop CS6 and you'll find a download for it. Next up is an app that I use every day. It's called Reflection, and it's for the Mac. This app lets you mirror your A5-empowered iOS device right onto your Mac, so iPad 2s and 3s and the iPhone 4S. Version 1.2 is out, and it's a big update. It includes some notable new features. So what's new? Well, first off, you have the new iPad support. Reflection is now optimized for this third-generation iPad. The developer notes that it's limited to 720p because that's what Apple limits your mirroring capabilities. It also can record right within the application. So you can get video and audio right from your iPad 2, 3, or 4S right in Reflection. So you have that separated from, say, you're doing a different audio recording on your Mac for your voice. That can be separated out now with Reflection, which is really cool. They've added a full-screen theater mode, which streams basically can go true full screen. So basically they've added photo galleries and photo streaming support from the apps that do that. I believe the built-in photo app would do that. And videos now play in Reflection instead of opening up in QuickTime. So you're also able to choose black or white iPhones and iPad frames. So they've had a number of little things that have fixed it to make it even better. Mountain Lion, it'll play better with that as well. And it's version 1.2. It's out. It's a free update. It'll cost you $15, and it's at reflectionapp.com. Next up is a service that isn't quite an app, but close enough to talk about in the app section here. The new service goes by the name of Aureo. Provides broadcast TV to those that can open Safari. So that means it works on iOS, the Mac, and even Windows. Oh yeah, it has a Roku channel as well if you've got one of those boxes, and for Apple TV, you can AirPlay. Aureo is currently invite-only, 90-day free trial to New York City residents to kind of test it out. 9to5 Mac goes through the experience of Aureo by saying, when you sign up, users will authorize their devices from which they are verified and then taking to their user interface where they're able to set up their account with DVR storage, antenna status, account settings, content search, social network linking, so you're able to link it up with Twitter, things like that. And you're able to just browse through your entire interface, including recordings and some content they actually feature. You'll discover that currently there's 27 channels, which may not sound like a lot, but you'll get the big names like Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS, and even PBS. The guide also displayed 10 days worth of programming in a grid-like view on the right side, so you're actually able to see in the future. And one of the cool things is you're able to record or watch live programming. So you actually set up a cloud DVR is what they're giving you, and you can program and have it remember which shows you want to program, so you can actually automatically record stuff when you're not thinking about it, which is really cool, just like a regular DVR. 9to5 Mac closes by saying, in the end, Ario's TV-like experience seems encouraging and, well, at least worth the test drive. For many people, its DVR functionality alone is worth the $12 monthly fee. For others, the admission price might be too hefty when compared to cheaper services that also offer cable programming and better streaming, such as, I'd imagine, Hulu is what they're referring to, or even Netflix. Hopefully the service expands to other parts of the United States and hopefully can go global one day, but that's a pipe dream. This service sounds like an amazing thing for cord cutters. I don't have a TV, and this sounds pretty cool. The last app story of the day is for Google Maps. It's an update for Android users. The Verge notes that the new version includes a new option to choose which mode of public transportation you prefer, bus, subway, train, or tram. You can also have Google come up with a route that has the least amount of walking involved, the one with the fewest transfers, or just the fastest route. The navigation homepage has also been completely redesigned with this update. So I include this news of this update on iWake just to say that I'm envious of this update and wish iOS had things like this for better public transportation, even though it's great as it is. But it's pretty cool what Google is doing with their Google Maps app. And hopefully when Apple creates their very own mapping service, as it looks like they're doing, and maybe this stuff will be included or something even better. I imagine iOS 6 or 7 will bring us our very own mapping app, which is a cool idea. So closing out the show today is a tip of the day for iPhoto on iOS. The Call to Mac did a pretty awesome job highlighting what seems like the hundreds of gestures available in iPhoto. I would recommend finding that post and looking through all of them. One tip I'd recommend is just to try a long press on various icons within iPhoto. You'll find tons of cool options to have, including undo and redo support, things like that. Just tons of scattered Easter eggs with just holding down. And another one is in Safari for the iPad. If you long press on the plus button, you'll basically be able to load up your previously closed tab, which is pretty neat. So as I mentioned before, head over to Call to Mac for the full list of gestures available in iPhoto for iOS. The link to that post will be on iWakePodcast.com. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, head over to iTunes, leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe to iWake Again over at iWakePodcast.com/again. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.